Blog Talk Radio.
Texas, and welcome to Zambia Blog Talk Radio, our special feature this morning. We want to say good afternoon to our friends in Europe. It's just becoming late afternoon there and a little bit early evening in the great motherland of Africa. And our friends in Australia are about to go to bed. We appreciate your dedication and commitment to following us. Those on the West Coast are just waking up. We say good morning to you and welcome to Zambia Blog Talk Radio. My name is Nathan Nkama and I'm hosting you from the great city of Dallas. This morning we have a great show for you. We're going to be discussing the Fresh Aroma Ministries, a 10th Annual Spring Prophetic Conference, and we'll be talking to our distinguished, honorable, and I can use all the titles I can there. And then in the second part of our discussion, we are going to have some friends join us. We'll be talking about an organization called Move Back to Zambia, a networking that is sort of trying to help people get settled and get established in as they desire to go back home. Okay, firstly, let me welcome everybody and say thank you for joining us. I will go straight into our featured discussion this morning. Fresh Aroma is a ministry that was founded by Prophetess Mwaka Twagira Yesu, and I believe it's 10 years this year, and she is the founder, president, CEO, and Prophetess Mwaka and her husband, Apostle Darius, also are co-pastors at All Nations House of Prayer Church in here in Dallas, Texas. And you can always join them there for fellowship and worship. Prophetess Mwaka joins us to discuss the milestone for the Spring Prophetic Conference, which is coming up in a short while here. And let me say good morning to my great, wonderful sister, woman of God, mother, pastor. We can say everything we can say. Pastor Mwaka, good morning.
Good morning, my dear friend, Pastor Nathan. How are you? And good afternoon and good evening to the listeners from all over the world.
Excellent. You know, it's always a joy to have you on this show. And for the information of our listeners, Pastor Mwaka has also got her own show right here on Zambia Blog Talk Radio. On Tuesday evening, it's called Solutions. You can look at it and just follow what she's doing. Pastor Mwaka, Fresh Aroma is already 10 years. How did this start?
Wow, I'm also amazed at how time has gone. Well, we were still in Boston pastoring, and it was actually during a challenging time in our lives, and so I was actually, you know, in a season of prayer and fasting for the church and just some of the things we were going through, and then I had a supernatural encounter with the Lord. And that's how the home ministry was birthed. And I was actually trying to say, Lord, I mean, I just felt very unqualified. Those days I was a very shy, quiet pastor's wife, believe it or not, very reserved, conservative. And so when the Lord was telling me about, you know, taking healing and restoration and transformation to my generation. I'm like, Lord, not me. I was even saying, no, this one is better. This one is eloquent. But I just could not resist the compassion on the Lord Jesus' face. And he just kept saying, will you go? Will you take my love? And I had actually an open vision of people from all nations, but very broken, very downcast, very discouraged. And so I had to say yes to the call. And that, it's just unbelievable that that was 10 years ago.
Amazing. 10 years, you obeyed the Lord, you stepped out. Share with us those first steps that you started taking, and talk about the first conference that you held as well. What memories do you have of that conference? What stands out? What are some of the things can you recall that happened?
You know, it's so funny, Pastor Nathan, because people were very used to us hosting all these, you know, great generals from all over the world. So when I did my very first meeting, I was the only one on the flyer. So I was getting all these calls, oh, you know, you forgot to put the guest. And I was so intimidated. And I remember I told my husband, oh, no, I can't do this. You see, I'm not qualified. And he's like, honey, even if five people show up, go ahead and do it. And so we did that very first one, maybe like, you know, 30 people were just like, what is this lady trying to do? And those 30 were very blessed, and they began to broadcast the news. So we started very small, but, you know, the Bible says a faithful man will abound with blessings and despise not the day of small beginnings. So I just took the call very seriously with a few who were there, ministered to them, encouraged them, you know, challenge them to just do better. And here we are 10 years later, still very passionate and very zealous for the Lord.
Excellent. In Dallas, we are excited about this. Those of you that are listening and would like to get details about the conference, you can go to the website. It's www.fresharomaministry.org. Fresharomaministry.org. The conference information is there, and all the details about the hotel speakers, you'll see it on the website. And Pastor Martha will be sharing with us more details. I need to tell you here that I'm very intrigued by the theme of this year's 10th ministry anniversary celebration, celebrating a decade of distinction. Knowing you the way I know you, others out there do not know you the way I know you. I mean, a woman of excellence, you are very particular about things, and you do not compromise about the quality and how people need to do ministry, compared to even how corporate America and the world does business. Talk to us about celebrating a decade of distinction.
You know, even when I began very small, I'm really passionate about, you know, doing the very best. Because I think many times as believers, we are so slothful and just complacent, and you know, we don't put in effort. You know, a great business person will tell you what distinguishes them from other businesses is the effort and going the extra mile. And so that's what, by the grace of God, I've tried to do for the last 10 years. Even when we started small, you know, I would want the best worship team dressed properly. You know, as I began to bring in speakers, bring in the very best. And I'm not somebody who, you know, I love to admire others and learn from others, but I love to be unique in everything. I believe God made us unique. That's why I don't have a twin sister. I mean, I'm unique and my ministry is unique and Fresh Aroma is unique. So we are looking forward to just, and we'll be showing like PowerPoint throughout the conference, you know, the different things our ministry has been able to do and many people we have been able to touch. And, you know, look, for example, when you look for at the, like, Hollywood Awards, I mean, it's so excellent. People are dressed well, there's red carpet. And how about us who are serving the King? So I just, average and mediocrity drives me up the wall. I cannot handle it.
Oh my goodness, I like it. Just tells me out of that. Because this is this, you're talking about this, everything goes back to the cross, isn't it? We're talking about celebrating Christ. We're talking about appreciating and acknowledging what the Lord has done for us. And the people listening out there, they're like, okay, help me here understand how I can better myself as a leader, as a Christian, as a wife, as a husband.
Yes, and this is what, you see, each of us have a call, whether you're a housewife, whether you're a professor, whether you're a business person. Even we are called as a mother, I want to be the best wife to my husband. I want to be the best mother to my children. I want to be the best pastor to our church. I want to be the best minister to those I minister as I travel. And I think too many of us, we don't really live life on purpose. You know, when you, Michael Jordan was the best because that's what he was called to do, and he went above and beyond. Tiger Woods is the best because he went the extra mile. So in whatever capacity, this is my belief, we have to go above and beyond. And so, you know, and I talk to people from, you know, I talk to politicians, academicians, business people, and I always challenge them, be the very best. You know, Steve Jobs was the very best. That's why the Mac lives on even when he's not around. So this is who we should be as people, and it's very fulfilling, you know, when you go that extra mile and you know you've done all you know to do. This is how God has made us. We are made in the image of God, and the Lord we serve is an excellent God. So it's not even just in ministry, this principle of excellence. It really affects every sphere of our lives.
Let's zero into the conference, because that's the information we want to give our listeners here, Pastor Mwaka. It's called Spring Prophetic Conference. What is the significance of those words in the name of this conference?
Well, Fresh Aroma Ministry itself is a prophetic ministry. And the prophetic ministry is basically, according to the word, it builds, it encourages, it inspires. A true prophetic ministry always leaves people better. I don't believe in those prophecies of you're about to die and you're going to hell. No, that's not what the Apostle Paul said. The Apostle Paul, you know, he exhorted us that the ministry is built. So by God's grace, for the last 9 years, every conference we've had, I mean, people really leave challenged to shine, excited. You know, marriages are restored. Husbands begin to compliment their wives more. Wives like Miss Universe. Kids are respecting their parents. Business people are, you know, encouraged to expand. So it's really a time of, what would I say, of challenging you to shine, challenging you just to come out of being ordinary. Be the extraordinary father, mother, wife, husband, business person, politician, economist, who you are called to be. And so this is why we are really particular. Even the speakers we bring in are very distinguished in their own right. And you know, when you come together in that atmosphere, the atmosphere is charged up. People are excited. They want to learn. And you know, it's not only powerful word of God and anointed worship you receive, but it's a place of connections. You meet people from all over the world. You know, people have connected, met business people there. So it ministers to every area of our lives, not just spiritually.
As we continue our discussion, you keep mentioning the speakers and delegates coming from around the world. We'll get to that in a minute. I want you to explain something that was just a new development concerning the conference, because last week we were announcing and informing the people about this conference and telling them to come. It's going to be exciting. We've had some new developments, change of a few things. Could you please just inform our listeners, Pastor, concerning the new changes and developments that have taken place?
Yes. Dear listeners, last year we had it at the beautiful Marriott, one of my favorite cities in Dallas is Las Colinas. I just love class and I love elegance, and Las Colinas is absolutely beautiful. Even before we moved here, when I used to come, I'm like, just take me to Las Colinas. I just want to smell the atmosphere. But anyway, we thought we would have it at the Marriott Hotel. But you see, I believe how a management treats you is very important. And they were just giving us a very hard time, yet we gave them such good, good business last year. And I don't like to be mistreated. And we just basically told them, well, if you cannot accommodate our guests the way we want, then we'll just have to look elsewhere. So we did find the Sheraton Hotel. So listeners, it's no longer going to be at Marriott. It's going to be at the Sheraton Hotel, which is also a very beautiful, classy hotel, also right in Irving. And the Sheraton Hotel have a free airport shuttle, which the Marriott did not have. And then there are overnight rooms at the Sheraton for our out-of-town guests and even those in Dallas who just want to treat themselves and be at the hotel. It's $99 for an overnight room, including breakfast. And again, that's something the Marriott were not able to offer. The date has changed to the following weekend. So instead of the 10th to the 13th, it'll be the 17th to the 20th. So those are the two changes. The venue, but it's still in Irving, very central, very near to the airport, free airport shuttle. And then it's the following weekend instead of the 10th to the 13th. We really did try with the Marriott, but they were just not forthcoming. And it's amazing, the management at the Sheraton, you know, were treating us like VIPs. And that says a lot also about how, even because during the conference, you don't want to be stressed out by managers. You need their support. You know, you want the guests to be treated well. So those are the two changes. It's now April the 17th to the 20th. And it will be at the beautiful Sheraton Hotel in Irving, Texas.
Excellent. We're talking to Pastor Mwaka Twagirayesu, President and Founder of Fresh Aroma International Ministries, discussing the 10th Annual Spring Prophetic Conference. For information and details, please go to the website. It's very simple, www.fresharomaministry.org. The conference information is there. And all the details, the speakers, the hotel that she has talked about, and everything else. Pastor, talk to us about the importance and significance of people registering. First of all, I understand the conference this year, there's no registration fee, but we still need to register. Why is that important?
Yes, sir. Because we are celebrating, we wanted to reach many more people. And sometimes with registration, you know, people begin to say, I don't have. So it is free, and it's for both men and women. So gentlemen, we'll be very honored by your presence. Fresh Aroma Ministry is not just for women. It is for men as well. By God's grace, we've impacted and blessed many, many men. So let me clarify that it's for both men and women and for family. So you can bring your children. We're going to have wonderful ministry for our teenagers and children. Even though it's free, we would love you to go because it helps us to know how many are coming. You know, we love to give gifts away. We're going to have conference bags. We are preparing conference magazines. And even the hotel need to know. So to provide that better quality service, it makes it easier. So even though it's free, please do go on the website so that we know you are coming. We're very hospitable, very welcoming, and we want to make your stay with us outstanding. We want it to be the best conference you've ever attended and just the best experience you've ever had. We will be having a breakfast on Saturday for only, and I emphasize only, $35. And I believe everybody can afford that. And again, it helps us if people register in advance, both for the conference and for the breakfast. We are working with a phenomenal planning committee. And, you know, we are really busy. So the earlier people register, we're able to do other things in preparation for a conference of this magnitude.
Excellent. So we want to encourage everybody listening, our friends on the East Coast, I mean, Lady C, I expect you to bring that bus load of people. I don't know whether you're going to charter a plane. And all my friends, Siddiq, I know you are listening. Bring all those people from Atlanta in Chicago. I want all the people from, I know the Seattle guy, Davis, he just texted me, Pastor, that he's listening. And
wow.
He says he's mobilized people to come. We're looking forward to receiving our friends from California and everybody else. We are not ruling out my friend Roger and the Canadians. And we are looking forward to everybody to come. Please go to the website. It's fresharomaministry.org. And let's bless this Zambian wonderful lady and just support her and give her. Pastor, let's get to the speakers now. One thing somebody notices is that it's almost like you are very deliberate or intentional in your choice of speakers. Please discuss or share with us some thoughts about this year's speakers.
Yes, again, it's a celebration of what God has enabled us to do for the last 10 years in terms of impacting lives. And we are very deliberate in our choice of speakers because, as I said, these are people who are very distinguished in their own right and are doing a phenomenal work in our generation. And I am so excited about them. I'm so excited. One of our keynote speakers is our very own Dr. Nervous Mumba. And you know, this is our year of Jubilee. Zambia, we are celebrating 50 years. And I think it's important for us as Zambians to honor our spiritual leaders and our leaders in general. One of the things that makes America great, look at how they treat people like Bill Clinton and, you know, the former president, George Bush, that is a biblical principle to honor. And I just felt that as we were celebrating the year of Jubilee as a nation, Zambia, we needed to bring one of our very own. And those of you who know Dr. Mumba, not just in the kingdom, even in the secular world, he has really made his mark. He's been a former vice president. He's been former ambassador to Canada, and he's very distinguished in his own right. And I'm very excited about him. He's a man of integrity, very solid in the word, and we know the great ministry and impact he has had in Zambia and in Africa. And in fact, here in Dallas, Texas, as you know, some of you may know, he went to Christ for the Nations Bible College, and he was very, very respected by the founder, the late Frieda Lindsay. She just loved Dr. Mumba. And when I saw that, I said, wow, I mean, if an American can embrace our own, and of course, because of him, many other Zambians came to Christ for the Nation. So how about us? I think as Africans, we need to learn to celebrate our own leaders. So I'm so excited about him coming, and he was also so blessed and honored by the invitation. We also have our prophetess Beverly Angel from the great nation of Zimbabwe. Her and her husband, Prophet Hubert Angel, you might have heard about them. They are taking Zimbabwe by storm. They were in London for many years, you know, with a very small ministry. And their spiritual father told them to go back to Zimbabwe in 2011, and the thing literally exploded. Their ministry is so huge that when they do their December 31st services, you know, crossover, Pastor Nathan, they have to do it in a stadium, you can imagine. But it's not only just
wow.
the largeness of their ministry, but they're also just doing a great job raising many people. They're phenomenal in business, helping widows and orphans, you know. And so to me, those things are important, that holistic type of ministry, not just preaching the word, but, you know, encouraging business people, encouraging people to go back to school. And then we also have Prophetess Sarah Morgan, based in California, originally from Uganda, phenomenal, outstanding woman of God. She's been part of our conferences for the last, I think, 4 years, and we just call her a walking volcano. I mean, this woman is a powerhouse. But not only is she powerful, she's very motherly, very humble. They also have a great ministry in California. I've had the opportunity to minister there twice, and we are great friends. You know, relationships are also very important to Apostle and I. And I felt, you know, she needs to be part of this 10-year celebration. We also have Bishop Eli Jacobs. He's one of our bishops here in Dallas. And I love this man of God because he has such a heart for Africa. And he always asks my husband, Apostle, and I, how can we bring African-Americans and Africans together? Because it seems we're in one corner and you are in one corner. So I love that spirit of unity and desiring to work together. And, of course, my wonderful husband here, we call him TDH, which means tall, dark, and handsome. So when you all come from out of state, you will see him. But he has encouraged me greatly in ministry. In fact, if it were not for him, I would not be doing what I'm doing today. He's a confident, secure African man who has no problem with having an outstanding wife who's on the forefront doing all these things. And so we together very well. We are great partners, parents of five beautiful miracle children, and he's just an inspiration. He will be there too. And, of course, I always minister on the last night. So it's going to be powerful, exciting, enriching, life-changing. You don't want to miss. And we're going to be having promoting like little videos on Facebook. So just watch our pages and you'll get a glimpse of all these prolific and profound servants of God.
Excellent. So we have Zambia, Zimbabwe, Uganda, United States. This is really international. Once again, we encourage everybody, go to the website and register. One of the things, like I said, Pastor Mwaka, which you keep emphasizing is the diversity and just the international aspect of the conference, the delegates that attend. Now, I thought that instead of you talking about that, we would probably have one of the delegates who attended the conference from outside the United States give their experience about the conference. How about that?
Wow. Oh, my goodness. I love surprises. Woo-hoo.
Hello, Stephanie.
Hello, I'm Stephanie. This is Stephanie from Copenhagen, Denmark. How have you been?
I can't believe. How could you two do this to me?
You know what? I know you don't like surprises, but you deserve them. You absolutely deserve them.
Wow.
I just want to say, and first and foremost, I really thank God for you. I thank God for the ministry, and I thank God for the partners that are always around you. You know, the way you work with them, it shows me that there is power in your partners. I've been in contact with Pastor Nathan, and he is amazing. You know, sometimes when I talk to him, you know, he reflects a little bit about you. So then I know you people are flowing in the same spirit. I'm in good hands.
Yes.
I just want to say that, last year when I was there, I was so blessed. But the twist in it is that I received my blessings when I came back home. When I was there, I was going through some stuff that I was healed and I was serving at the same time. But when I came back home is when I became whole. You know, I was just reflecting on everything and how the conference went and how God showed up and showed off. And I remember that night that Prophetess Bynum didn't show up, you know, because the devil is a liar, and we went into a time of prayer. You were leading the prayer. You know, the way we prayed that night and the way the Holy Spirit showed up, I was like, this is where I need to be. I didn't know where I'll be this year, 2014, in around April. But I told God that I just want to be a part of this at least one more time.
Wow.
And I needed God to really, really provide. And I'm really, really humbled to say that God has provided. And I'm looking forward to come in April now that you have confirmed the new date. And I can't wait. I can't wait to just come and be blessed. You will never know what this means to me.
Wow. Oh, my. Welcome. Imagine all the way from Denmark. I mean, if she can come from Denmark, then wonderful friends all over the USA, please join us. We guarantee your life will not remain the same.
Pastor, if Stephanie can come
Absolutely.
From Denmark,
I
know Stephen Panda is listening. Stephen has no excuse.
That's the thing. But for anyone listening out there, really, I think that that you should just go to your knees and ask the Lord if you need to be in this place. Absolutely, He'll give you a yes. And if you really, really, if your heart is really open to receive what the Lord has for you in this conference, I'm sure He'll provide, and you'll never be the same again. You're not going to regret this. I can guarantee you that, because I am living it, and I met people that I would not have met otherwise anywhere. It's the blessing of being at the right time with the right people, you know,
yeah.
at the right place. This is the Fresh Aroma International Ministries, and the prophetess, we lift you up in prayers, really. You challenge me. The energy you have, I mean, if not for God, then I don't know where you get it from, you know. So I just, yes, sometimes it's annoying because I'm thinking, gosh, how old am I again? And you are having all these things going at the same time, and you're always up there, very positive, spirited, smiling. I'm yet to catch you not smiling, you know. You have things, you know, you're always in control, and I'm like, I just want to be that, you know.
Oh, thank you, Stephanie. My motto is really, I think when you're a happy person, and generally I am, and I really credit this to
mm-hmm.
both my parents, my late father and mother, they were just very happy, mm-hmm. hospitable people. You know, I noticed growing up, people loved being
yes.
around them. And I said, you know what, being miserable
yeah.
and depressing is just, no, that's not my portion. So I like to be
yeah.
happy. And,
yeah.
you know, when you are happy, the Bible is clear that the joy
yeah.
of the Lord is our strength. So it gives you strength to do so
Absolutely.
Much. And so that's how, I mean, I'm a
yeah.
mother of
yeah.
five, a wife, and I have just millions of responsibilities. But I try to execute
yeah.
them happily by God's grace.
Mm. Excellent. Stephanie, thanks for joining us. We'll be looking forward to seeing you.
Thank you, Pastor Pan. Thank you, Prophetess. May the Lord keep exalting you. And yes, I'm looking forward to coming. God bless you.
God bless you,
right.
Stephanie. Thank
Excellent.
You.
So we thought that, like,
thank
what
you.
Do the educated, the English people say here from the horse's mouth, isn't it?
Yes.
We didn't want to let you start blowing your own trumpet. So we said, all right, let somebody who came to the conference from outside the United States share their experience. As we conclude our discussion, Pastor Mwaka, those listening, the registration, you can do it on the website. It's fresharomaministry.org, April 17th to the 20th at the Sheraton. We can guarantee you that you will not be disappointed. Where did some of the other delegates who came come from? And I just encourage everybody to participate in this.
Oh, last year we had people from Uganda, Kenya, London, Zambia. And then we have a morning prayer line, and so which consists about 20 states. So we also had California, Boston, Houston, Austin. I mean, I can't name them all, but we had at least 20 states also represented, and none of them went back the same. It's just a beautiful atmosphere. You're inspired, you're motivated, you're challenged. People are happy, and generally Dallas people, I must say, are very hospitable, because we've lived in Boston, as you know, and we love Boston, but I must say Dallas people are extremely hospitable. So it's also nice to come to a conference where people are friendly, smiling, welcoming, whatever you need, they're willing to serve. So it's a great place to come to, Dallas, and also, of course, to the conference.
Excellent. Once again, everybody, this year's conference is coming up, and we want to encourage you to go to the website, fresharomaministry.org. It's the 10th Annual Spring Prophetic Conference. Let me say congratulations for the 10 years, and we're looking forward to coming.
Thank you so much, Pastor Nathan, for your incredible support. And let me let you know, listeners, Pastor Nathan is part of our incredible planning committee, and him and the rest are just doing, they're going above and beyond. So let's honor their great work by you coming. Looking forward to meeting you. And just people like Siddiqui, I see you on Facebook, can't wait to meet you. Davis Cherwa, we love the work you do. We're so proud of you. Looking forward to meeting you from Seattle. Just all you wonderful people, let's just come and celebrate what God is doing.
Excellent. We are privileged that you were able to join us, and the planning committee, we are calling it what, the winning team. Thanks, winning team, for calling in, and everybody, and let's mobilize everybody to come to the conference and have a great weekend as we switch topics here. Those of you that would like to get Pastor's materials, you can get them from the website as well. As we change subjects here, Pastor Mwaka, thank you for joining us. I'll play one of the songs that Pastor Mwaka has produced, and the CD is also available.
Thank you. I love to praise your holy name, Abba Father. I love to praise your holy name, Abba Father.
That was Pastor Mwaka Twagirayesu, the founder and CEO of Fresh Aroma International Ministry. They will be having their 10th anniversary celebration in Dallas, Texas. The information is on www.fresharomaministry.org. Please forgive me, there is some construction work going on around my area, and I don't know if you're getting that noise or not. I apologize for that. I wish I could go somewhere else where it would be quiet. We are changing subjects here. Now, I want us to hear from our colleagues who attended a function that was held in Zambia by the Move Back to Zambia networking, and then we'll also discuss a few things about doing business in Zambia by people who are actually doing business in Zambia. Fortune Nyondo will be joining us, Uncle GM from the UK. He constantly makes those trips. But one of the team members did attend this networking come together, which took place in Lusaka, and this is no other than Gwalia Chilea. She's a member of the ZBTR team, and we all know Gwalia, she went for Christmas. Gwalia, good morning. Thank you for joining us, and welcome back home.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
Doing okay. Gwalia, you attended the Move Back to Zambia, the first networking event that was held in Lusaka. Just share with us, first of all, what were the issues discussed? What was your experience? Who was there? How did you see it?
Okay, so the event was held in Lusaka, as you said, and the purpose of it was really as a networking opportunity for people who have recently moved back to Zambia or thinking to move back to Zambia to share ideas. So part of it was, you know, what are some of the things you should think about before you move back home? So things as basic as finding accommodation, finding schools for your children, and then for those who seek to be self-employed, what are the type of things you should keep in mind in terms of registering a company, finding an accountant, and things like that. And so it was really a wide variety of people. We had writers there. We had somebody in Solwezi who recently returned back and has opened a bureau de change. And then there was another gentleman from the UK who was actually born in Zambia, but moved to the UK as a youngster, and now he's in his mid-50s and thinking to move back because of how bad the recession is in the UK. So he's back in Zambia looking at what opportunities are available to him based on his skill set and experience. So it was really a wide variety of people. I think we had about 20 people in attendance, I believe. Hello?
I'm sorry. If somebody is thinking on those terms, Gwalia, about moving back, so this organization, are they able to help people settle down? Are they offering consultancy? What's the deal?
No, at this point, there's really no consultancy that they're offering because this is the very beginning of, you know, what they are. So at this point, my understanding is it's a networking opportunity. So for people who are, you know, in similar circumstances, to come together and meet and talk about things and troubleshoot where needed. And then I'm sure through that, that may lead to some consulting between the members of the group that come together. But at this point, they're not, as far as I know, not offering any help in terms of relocation and consulting.
Okay. What would you say is the what did you guys resolve? What's the way forward? Did you go in those lines in your discussion or talking?
Well, the way forward that I know we reached agreement to was the fact that people wanted to keep the group going and do perhaps a monthly meeting so people can continue to go back and check in with one another and see how people are doing and offer help where help can be offered. And I know one of the attendees, I forgot his name, but he got his business card. He actually has a company that he set up recently where he is trying to help people relocate. So essentially, he would be that go-between. So if you're looking to go back to Zambia, he would work with you to, you know, figure out certain things. So like the example I gave in terms of you want to set up a company. So instead of doing all that when you arrive home, he would be the person to help you get that done. So I know that's a brand new company. I can't remember how long it's been around, but he's somebody that at least I know is offering that kind of work. But obviously, he's not the head of this networking group. He was just somebody who was in attendance.
Okay, excellent. So that's, I don't know, maybe behind the scenes we can share this information if it's available.
I'll look through my things. I know I got his business card.
Okay. Well, yeah, thank you.
All right, you're welcome.
All right. That we just wanted to get that brief synopsis from Walia, who attended that meeting in Lusaka, and just for her to give us that background. Uncle GM, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Nathan.
How are you today?
Oh, very well. Although outside, I can't say the same. I didn't venture out. We had a storm, you know, like tropical Africa, with thunder and so forth, a hailstorm coming, but colder than in Africa. But it's over now, but still very cold outside.
Another friend will be joining you to be part of the discussion. Okay, let me see here. I don't see Fortune. You heard what you said. Are your thoughts? I mean, you make a lot of trips between where you are in the UK and Zambia. You do a lot of different projects and a lot of things. What are your thoughts on what you just shared?
Oh, it's very well. It's forming a constituency of those that have had exposure outside. And trying, you know, to make it back home. It also, I think, will dispel some misunderstanding. I think, as we have discussed before, that there's been some sort of, you know, tension at times with the people that return and those at home, because the perception has always been those that went out have done better, which is not the case. So there is that, and what most people find is that those that were left have actually moved on and are doing much, much better. You know, the tables have turned. So this networking will offer, I think, people to compare notes, some moral support, you know, each other, share experiences. And for those that want to set up companies, obviously they don't have to reinvent the wheel. There are those that are there. So from that point of view, it's very good because it just strengthens, really, the bonds that people have. And it will also be good for those that, intend and have fears to go back. They can always bounce off their fears from this networking group. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a very important point that you have mentioned on the GM there. Let me introduce another panelist who has just joined us here. Fortune Nyong'o is based in Houston, Texas, and he is a musician, minister, ordained minister, and is also the founder and CEO of Global Culture Network Solutions. Fortune, good morning, and thank you for joining us.
Hey, good morning, Pastor Nevin. How are you, sir?
Doing okay, my friend. This is somebody who needs to meet Pastor Mwaka as well, and I know she's still here listening. So, Fortune, I need to hook you up with Pastor Mwaka so that we can do some business together. Fortune, you do business in Zambia, and I'll just share some of the things that you do out there just a little bit before we continue with the details and specific questions.
Well, thank you so much, first of all, Pastor, for this opportunity to give me and be able to discuss things that really, really need to bring us together, the people in the diaspora, and concerns of economical concerns, Zambia's economic concerns. What we are doing at Global Culture Network Solutions is a company here in Houston, Texas, and we have branched off in different countries, and Zambia is one of them right now, and Congo. So in Zambia, what we're doing, we are dealing in commodities, that is metals and minerals. We are in construction. We are also in real estate. We have a couple of projects, actually a few projects going on right now. I just came back barely a month ago, and we'll be heading back next month. So what we are doing is I just realized to say, you know, if we are in this country in the third world, and we get an opportunity to get in the first world country, we get the chance to be able to touch people over here in terms of investors and persuade them to get back with us over there. You know, I think the big man just mentioned something very important that, you know, things, the tables have turned. In Zambia right now, you go there, you're not going to look like you're coming from the Western world. People are working, there's people that are working, there are people that are making a lot of money, businessmen that have mushroomed from there. So I don't think there's anything right now or anybody needs to fear to get into the country, to go back to the country thinking that all they are going to do is just give out and give away. I think there's other things that I'd like to talk about later, given a chance, in terms of us people getting back, us in the diaspora, heading back to Zambia or to African countries to go and invest there. So things are happening in Zambia. If you are listening right now and you haven't been there, things are happening. There's businesses are coming up and good business, great business.
Thank you, Fortune. I would like you to respond to this question, and then Apple GM also can respond to it. What is or what are the worst misconceptions we have about investing back home, in your experience?
Well, there's a few things, Pastor, that that I personally look at. You know, first of all, I just want to introduce this this organization. It's a mother body, government mother body that is in Zambia that is supposed to be doing a great job to help people over here. I don't really blame people in the diaspora that are scared to go back there for this reason. There's an organization called Zambia Development Agency. It was established in 2006 under the Act 11 of 2006. This is something that is supposed to help us, to help people economically, both Zambians and foreigners. But I haven't seen them doing much of the work. I think somebody's sleeping on the desk. Excuse my language there. But 2000 to 2014 is a long, long period for us not to see the people in the diaspora being helped in terms of tax. You know, the major thing that I've been afraid of going back there is being taxed. If I go back with the money there, I'm being taxed just like any other investor. You know, so that is a part of, I think, not the only one, but that's a part of the thing that discourages people to go back there and invest. I think the government, together with the ZRA and ZDA, needs to collaborate and work out some kind of incentives that will help people in the diaspora so that they are not afraid to go back there and invest in the country. I think that is the major thing. Yeah, but for us going in there with the people that are on the ground, I'm telling you, people are willing to work. People are willing to work. They have understood the value of kwacha and the coin. So they are going to work for anything, that as long as you offer them something great. You know, there was a time when we as Zambians over there became so lazy we just wanted handouts and stuff like that. But people are working hard, and please do not be scared to go and invest back home in Zambia, considering as long as these guys, the government, the president, and these two other bodies work together and help us out with this, I think we'll be seeing a huge development. There's doctors, professors in the diaspora that would like to go back and invest, but they're scared. So that's what I can say about that, Pastor.
Angotia.
Well, I think the misconception that there's been, when you read in the online in terms of what's going on in the governance and so forth, obviously there are certain, you know, there are some concerns, and people wonder, are they safe with their investment there? I think although one cannot guarantee 100% that all, you know, is going to be safe regarding investment. Any investment has some risk to it. But if you are risk averse, then you also will not actually make the money that you sort of desire. So one has to balance the risk. Regarding the governance, maybe the one assurance is the fact that whoever is in power is not going to be there, you know, forever. Or they will choose to change their policies. But one comfort is that I think the momentum of economic development is such that the political system, whatever it is, will have to actually take notice. Big companies have invested in there. They're not going to go away anywhere. So for one in the diaspora, you can either, you know, go and invest directly yourself if you do have the experience. But what I would myself encourage people to do, first of all, go and visit. Make an assessment or due diligence, if you will, if you actually are interested in certain businesses. The other aspect is that if you know people that, from a business perspective, that you can work with, I think it is better to sort of partner with them, either through a joint venture or whatever. I mean, I have that type of arrangement myself with people that used to work for me some time back, and I've been quite pleased to see how they have developed business-wise. So I've gone back and said, look, I think there is a basis here that we can have a win-win situation and partner. So those are the sort of aspects, and those are some, you know, some the fears. any investment, let me underline it, has some risk. And the best that one does is to try and reduce all risk. If you are risk-averse, you want to play it safe, fine, you can do that. But then don't also expect to leapfrog in your, sort of reaping, so to speak.
The comparison between foreign investors and us Zambians living here, in the way we are received or treated, how significant is that, Uncle GM? Number two, you can both comment. Secondly, is the tax break really the real issue here or the other factors?
Well, in terms of how we are received, I think that has been changing, although probably fully there. I think there is a sort of mindset change that is required. If two people go, one is a foreigner with, say, $100,000 each, which they put down, say, I want to sort of invest. For some reason, whether it is a colonial hangover or whatever hangover we have, the non-Zambian will actually be helped a lot more than the Zambian. Whether the Zambian presents some sort of threat, I don't know. I don't know where it is, but I can't really put a finger on it, but it's there. Okay. So we do need to clear that. Hello? Was there somebody in the background who wanted to comment on that before I move on to the tax issue?
No, move on. No, move on. Move on, sir. Move on.
Yeah. On the tax issue, in fact, we've previously made some representation to the Zambia Development Agency in terms of the incentives which they give for people who invest more than $500,000. That's where the sort of tax break comes in, and we said that that threshold is too high for many Zambians. Could it be, dropped? And they say, no, this is an act of parliament. It has to go back to parliament. There have been all sorts of discussion. So there in itself is one of the barriers that unless you are investing $500,000 and above, then you will not enjoy the tax incentives that are given to, and most foreign investors, either through their banks or the corporation and so on, get that. Talking about the Chinese, for instance, those that come and set up, whether they are, sort of going to be cooking and selling in Shima and so on, there is next to the their investment center is the bank. The bank where I'm told they can actually go and get finance to assist them in their venture. So already that in itself is a disparity and difference between a Zambian that is actually going there and another national who is backed up by their home country.
Uncle, before you come in, Uncle GM, on the 500,000, and anybody else can come in here, don't you think that is just upholding or having a standard so that you don't just come up with some flimsy figure for every Jim and Jack to come in and say, I need a tax break? What would be your comment to that?
Yes, I appreciate there is that standard. But also, if you want to encourage your own nationals to come in, recognizing where they're actually coming from and the hoops that they have had to sort of go through and so on, I don't think it is too much to sort of ask to sort of have, I mean, you go into South Africa, you've got the sort of, the black empowerment, whatever I call it. But there is really a need to look at that, even if it is in a short period for an interim to say that, okay, we will give this in stages, but over a period of time, you must hit the 500,000. Otherwise, you know, we may have to review. But to just have it there and then that everybody must reach that before they enjoy the tax advantage, I think in itself it's an exclusion for most of the Zambians.
Fortune?
Hello? Sorry.
Yes, go ahead. Your response to the extent.
Uncle GM, has made very, very profound statements there. You know, Pastor Nathan, when it comes to Zambians in the diaspora investing back there, you know how we live over here. We work so hard, and we don't make $500,000. You know, that is in a dream. That should be in the dream somewhere. Some people do, yes, but for a person who's making $10 an hour a day, they're not going to do. They have to work a lifetime to do that. So, what I would like to say, and I mentioned it earlier, I touched it a little bit. ZDF, that's the mother body, you know. If they can give a break, you know, there's so many incentives that could be there, like Uncle Jim said, you know, set a lower standard, and then as time goes over a certain period, then start increasing. You know, there's seed money, you know, I think there's organization even in the U.S., they give you small loans. And then they expect you to grow that over a certain period of time. That is that can be managed. You know, that someone can manage to do that. But well, we have the Chinese coming in. Let me go to the mine sector. You know, you're given 7 years. The Chinese or other the foreigners are given 7 years of prospecting. You know, that means they are not taxed for any minerals that comes out of the country because they go out as samples. You see, first of all, we are not only us like being crippled as Zambians or being hurt, but the government is also being crippled because they are not making any revenues out of the commodities that are leaving the country going to China as samples or wherever it's going. You see, so we are finding it's a lose-lose situation. I mentioned to say somebody must be sleeping on the table because 2006 to 2014, that's a long, long time, you know, for somebody to figure out how they should be able to help their own people, their natives. You know, we shouldn't be treated as fugitives when we come over here. You know, there's this stigma that goes on about us, the people in the diaspora. You know, we want to get in there, but we want the government to assist us. Give us a break. Give us 1 year, 2 years, tax-free. That'll be great. You know, I was talking to, let me mention Robert Chinga Jr. He made a very good point. He made a very good point to say, you know, if I was given 5 years break, you know, I can do wonders. He can do wonders. We can do wonders. You know, we are more than able to do that. So we need the government to give us a break on the tax. And also the opportunities. Uncle GM said something about the opportunities. Zambians and foreigners given the same given different opportunities. How can we be so let me not use the word I was supposed to use here. How can we be so unwise as a country to look at other people, other countries that are taking commodities, develop more than us? It's been there. British took the British took the copper from Zambia and took it to Zimbabwe. Zimbabwe looks beautiful than we do. So we have to get out of that mentality of just giving away. We have Zambia is very resourceful. The whole land is full of resources. So I'm not discouraging people in the diaspora. I'm encouraging people in the diaspora to go back there, like Uncle GM said, go and investigate. Find what you can do in the country and what will work for you, then come back, make the assessment.
Okay, let's get a comment or a contribution from Australia. Australia, good evening. We have somebody calling in from Australia. Good evening.
From Australia?
Let me see. 661.
is.
Hello.
Hello.
How are you? I've got a question. I've got a question, though. I'm from Houston, not from Australia.
Okay. Go ahead, sir. Your name, please.
I'm Nick.
Nick, welcome to the show. Please go ahead.
Yeah, I have not yet been to Zambia, though fortune is encouraging me to do this. I'm interested in y'all following up on one thing. I'm intrigued by the amount of influence that China apparently has there. Are other nations putting the same amount of investment in? And then secondly, as the Chinese, and then secondly, as a non-Zambian, what are the small investment opportunities that might be attractive, and maybe a little bit about what's the risk for foreigners? So I'll listen to this and appreciate the show.
Thanks, Nick. Uncle Jim, Fortune, anyone of you want to pick up any of those questions?
Go ahead, Uncle Jim.
Yes. First of all, in terms of let me start with his last question regarding investment opportunities. Again, the Zambia Development Agency, in fact, even on their website, they do have various sectors where one can invest, depending, obviously, on one's interest, because it's not just a case of investing. One has to be interested so that you can actually follow through that investment. Or if it's general, there is the Lusaka Stock Exchange. As well, where one can put money. It has been doing quite well, barring 2008, I think year on year, it has been able to achieve between 20 to 25% growth. So that's in terms of that. But specifically in terms of the actual investment and opportunities, I think the Zambia Development Agency is a good start point, and then things would develop from there. Now, coming back to the Chinese, I think Nick, you do well to look at some of Ndambi Samoyo's, presentations to various forums on economics and so forth, because she's actually elaborated quite a lot about China's policy and their expansion. They're looking for resources. As you know, China is the most populous country, in the world. And obviously, they've got a strategic view to sort of say, well, where are we going to get resources and so on. So that has been part of the move. And for Zambia, I think it started off initially soon after independence when next door, the then Ian Smith declared, the United Declaration of Independence and so on. And then Zambia being landlocked, or people say landlinked, yes, had to look for alternative routes to the sea. They came to the Western countries. It wasn't really working. They didn't actually lend the money. Then the Chinese offered to assist in building the railway from Kapirimposhi onto Dar es Salaam. And I think it started from there. And as China has extended its influence the world, I think Africa sort of has been a sort of soft spot because they sort of invest. They say that they don't have any preconditions. In Zambia, apart from the offer that they had in terms of building the railway, they came into the mines, bought one of the mines, and then mining and copper in particular. After 2005, the fortunes turned and increased, and they have been increasing their investment in Zambia. In fact, there was an article that said that head of population and so forth, I think we have in Zambia a Chinese population per head of their footprint is much more than in any other African countries. I don't know how true that is, but that's one what I read in one of the articles. So, Nick, that's where it sort of started from. But also, I think our own government and administration, successive ones, have actually opened up for them to come in. And part of the criticism, if one or that, was that they didn't actually set any limits in terms of what where they could invest. For instance, for them to begin, selling the staple food in Shima, I think that should have been, sort of a preserve for the locals. But since it's a liberalized economy, they say, well, anybody can engage in anything. I think I'll stop there. Hopefully I've given you a bit of the background and also what is happening regarding why there is such a large footprint in Zambia by the Chinese.
Nick, does that help?
Yes, it does. I'm intrigued by China's stuff. Personally, I do some work in Central Asia, and I see the Chinese influence there, and I'm interested to hear about it in Africa as well. Thank you.
Well,
excellent. Pastor Nathan.
Yeah, you're welcome. Yeah, go ahead, Fortune, and then I'll go to Roger in Canada.
Okay. What Nick has expressed here is every American's concern. They are concerned about investing not only America, but any other country other than China. They get a little bit skeptical about how things are moving there. Pastor Uncle GM said something very important, that these guys, when they come into the country, they don't set the standards, or they don't set what they want. They don't set exactly what they want to do in terms of investment. Now, I don't think China is the weakest point spot there. It's not them that just come up with those ideas. Again, I'll come back. I don't mean to drill on ZDL or anything like that, but I think for these guys, being the fostering economic growth and development in Zambia, promoting these trades and the investment and the efficiency of investment in the country, I think standards should be set before these people come in, because how are they crossing this bridge? It sounds to me like there's nobody standing there watching what needs to come in and what needs to go out of the country. So somebody will come, the Chinaman will come in and sell razor blades by the bus station. We saw that. I saw that with my eyes. What is the street kid, the one that I'm trying to help up to teach, to say, you need to work hard and do the best you can in life. What are they going to do seeing a Chinese person standing right next to them selling the same commodities they're selling to the people in the buses? You see, that is lowering our standards there. And then when people from outside look at that, from outside, they look inside, it kind of gives them, a little bit of concern. So when Nick, I just want to appreciate you for calling in. And I can understand, because I sit with these people here, I sit with the investors here in this country, I sit, and those are the questions that I'm asked all the time. We need our government, to be very, very jealous of the country, to guide the country with jealousy and the resources of the country. There's so many people that needs to come into that country and invest. Well, I think we are overrated. Zambia is one of the fastest growing economically, but there's so much population of Chinese. I'm sorry, I'm not being racial or anything, but there's so much population of Chinese in Zambia, and I'm not seeing much of the impact or the impact that it's bringing economically to the country. Their dominance is not bringing anything other than taking out of the country. So again, I'm emphasizing it. If anybody that is listening right now that has anything to do with ZDF, you guys are good guys, but I think we need more people to be very proactive and use the initiative that is going to attract other people other than the Chinese in the country and make them feel comfortable.
Thank you, Fortune. Roger, you're listening to the conversation, Uncle GM. Fortune and the questions that Nick has asked. I don't know what's going through your mind.
Well, it's a very interesting discussion, Nathan, and China can easily be beaten up. China's influence nowadays is everywhere. One of the big employers of the United States is Walmart. And Walmart, almost three-quarters of the staff coming from Walmart is coming from China. And we know Walmart is a record on labor issues, on the pay is quite low. And so we have seen the influence. We did a study at school how in California people work for Walmart are supported by the state. Somehow, have to be supported to supplement. So in Africa, we may have a different form of China, which has come because they are bringing their people over there. But in here, we've seen labor being taken away, and hence the problems the U.S. continue to have. Where I am here in Canada, most of the oil companies are now being bought by the Chinese. In the U.K., they are building the nuclear. This is a sensitive part, but if my records are okay, they are the ones doing that. So Chinese influence, Nathan, and I think everyone else, is all over. It's just maybe the color which differs when it is in Africa. Secondly, when we look at the United States and all these Western powers, when they gave us money and loans, so to say, to control us, China has come. We have stadiums. We are building 8,000 kilometers of roads in Zambia with the help of loans from China. And Uncle GM alluded to this when listening to the Bizamoro. People are saying, we like this. We are seeing the roads come up, which were not there when we got loans from IMF. So I think, yes, China may have this obnoxious way of, you know, invading your country, so which we may like, but the things we like out of them, maybe we may have to strike a balance. On the issue of taxes, Nathan, those who are on the call here can agree with me. United States economy is controlled 90% by small businesses. And small businesses in America are classified as those who are making under $250,000. So for Zambia, a nation like ourselves, to put this value of $500 on its own nationals, when they are supposed to make a little bit, I think this is our culture, Nathan, I would say. We want to make profit even where we didn't, we didn't do it anyway. But this is one thing I think they should look to. United States of America, the business is controlled by people who are making, small businesses making less than $250,000. And I think our Zambia, too, can look and evaluate this figure again. 50,000 in Zambia is a lot of money. Someone can do some kind of investment. Thank you.
That's true. Thank you, Roger. You're listening to Zambia Block Talk Radio, our feature discussion here. We're looking at the dynamics, the pros and cons of doing business back in Zambia. Let me just inform everybody, our listeners and those online of coding. Next week, the Zambian government has already registered, they've already registered Indico as a company. So next week we'll have two powerhouses discussing that topic. Before I go back to Fortune and Uncle GM, let's get a lady's perspective here. Pastor Mwaka, you do travel to Zambia occasionally to do different things. What do you observe? I mean, you live in America, and of course you're not ignorant concerning the Chinese influence there. What are we getting? What are we getting from America? What are we getting from China? What are you observing? And what are your thoughts on this?
Yeah, first of all, I stayed on because I was really impressed by that organization that has started about move back to Zambia, because I think it's so important even for us in the diaspora to begin looking at home. We are not going to be here, you know, forever. So, you know, thank God for America, all we've received. We've been educated here, and we've done a lot here. But I really believe the development of Africa really depends on us. America is what it is because the people have worked hard. Now, concerning China, they are really penetrating Africa at a very fast rate, and of course, Africa is really the place to invest. Last December, when we were in Uganda and Kenya, half the plane was full of Chinese, Americans, British, and they were not going on holiday. You know, they know that Africa is the place. And I think as Zambians, we need to rise up, because we are complaining about the Chinese, but then what are we doing? You know, then let's also bring our gifts and our talents, because if they're the ones who are building, they're the ones who are, like, taking over the mind. So where are the Zambians? Because, you see, before we can complain, we have to come up with a solution, you know. I know in a place like Botswana, they give priority to their, you know, to the Botswana people. But, you know, I always tell my foreign friends that Zambia, in terms of, we are so quick to, and it's great to be welcoming, but we are so quick to give, you know, outsiders jobs and opportunities before our own people. So these are some things that need to be considered and reconsidered.
Hello.
Hello, am I still on?
I said, Fortune, you wanted to say something?
Oh, sorry, I didn't hear you.
I'm sorry.
Yes, I wanted to say something. That's okay. I wanted to say something, and I really agree and disagree with Varoja in some ways. You know, there's two things that are happening in the country. Okay, actually three things that are happening in Zambia. I don't know if it's been there lately. There's Chinese that are coming in as contractors, road construction. Okay, so if you come into the country, you've been assigned to do road construction, and it's usually that people from foreign countries are going to come in and do a diligent job. They're going to do it great. They have to finish. That is a must. It's always a must. We find some hiccups in our local contractors that are constructing the roads, and they end up probably using the money for something else. So the roads are being constructed. The roads are being constructed in Zambia by the Chinese because they are also getting paid for that. They are contracted to do that. Okay, so and now when it comes to mine, I don't know how much you know about the mining sector. You know, I'm working right now on some blocks for mining that I'm having so much of a hard time to be able to have these guys to finish. Certain other things have been done, you know, and let me give credit to some government leaders in this ruling party. The president is doing a good job, but he's also surrounded by people like everywhere else that don't want to accomplish the vision or to push the vision of the president. So, but there's other people that are working hard, that are pushing business, small businesses in Zambia to work with them, with the communities, you know, the likes of the Mshangas and other people that are in the government. You know, they are working with the community. So, yes,
Let me throw a question here and say, Uncle GM, I want you to respond to this. You stated something here, Fortune, about the contractors and everything.
Yes.
Uncle GM, don't you think the foreign investors or Chinese, per se in particular, also take advantage of our poor enforcement of our labor laws? There is a hotel in Lusaka which has got Chinese people working as waiters. Is that justifiable?
No, I think we are very weak on that because I know, for instance, Chambishi Mine, when the Chinese invested, were back around the 2000, 2001 and so forth, it was discovered they were actually bringing convicts to come and work there as laborers. Whether the government were tipped and so forth, they moved in and said, no, you can't actually do that. But our work permit system, whether it is through corruption and so forth, they actually bring in people who don't have the skills, and they could actually get the Zambians to do that.
Yes.
Now, there is also an aspect where sometimes they say that the work ethic of the Zambians is not really up to scratch in terms of having to work hard, long hours, and so on. Now, there could be that, and we had that debate some time back in Zambia to look at that aspect, and we said, well, for instance, the Chinese come there, they have no family, all they come to do is work. The Zambian has a family to look after and so forth. So there is a, it's sort of a balance that need to be struck. But to answer your question, I think that there needs to be some screening, and also laborers' jobs or the like should not really require people from outside to come and do. And this is where the government really has to step in and put their foot down.
Excellent. Last week, Matilda started a discussion. It's called To Learn or Not to Learn in Local Languages. We all know what the Ministry of Education has done in Zambia. Our children from grade 1, I believe, to 4 will be learning in the local vernacular languages. And coming up, she continues that discussion with officials from the Ministry of Education. So when we finish here, please do not go away. We encourage you to join Matilda Lucas from Missouri. She'll be hosting that discussion. Let me thank my guests for joining us. Uncle GM from the United Kingdom, it's always a joy to have you with us. He's one of our elders on this forum and consulting members. And Fortune, I haven't had you for a long time. Nyondo, Houston, Texas, CEO, President, Global Culture Network and Solutions, and everyone else who has been part of this. We thank our new participants, both online and who have called in. Nick, thanks for your question. Excellent job. And Pastor Mwaka, please, that conference, we're looking forward April 17th to the 20th. All those who would like to register, please go to the website. It's www.fresharomaministry.org. We expect you to be part of that. Fortune, you are going to put your whole family in the van and head to Dallas in April.
I'm on the road right now.
You're on the road right now. But
yes.
All right, everybody. Thank you. And what a great discussion. We look forward to you joining us again next week. Remember, I am going to have a firehouse here. Henry Kiambalesa, I believe we all know Mr. Kiambalesa, and Dr. Derek Chitala will be joining me to debate in the call. Stay tuned for Matilda. Lelo, bantu bonse basoweza ulemu, atate imwe.